the InfoSound Information Audio Library. News.
We're in something of a time of change for many charities that support blind and partially sighted people. Some of the reasons for that change relate to improvements in technology, which are altering the way that charities are able to support those who live with sight loss and the way that some vision-impaired people can access that support. And some of the changes are financially driven, with everyone aware that our ageing population means more people are going to be seeking help, advice and support in the future than ever before. Some predict there could be 2.25 million blind and partially sighted people in the UK by 2020. And economic thinking and increased efficiency are two of the main reasons that RNIB has given for their recent merger with Action for Blind People, which is now no longer a charity in its own right. To find out more about the challenges facing by far Britain's largest service provider for vision-impaired people, we spoke to RNIB's Chief Executive Officer, Sally Harvey, and it was about the merger with Action for Blind People that we started our conversation, the differences that people may notice as a result of it, and the reasons behind it.
RNIB and Action have been working together since 2009. When Action joined what we call the RNIB group. And since then, we've been working closer and closer. A lot of RNIB services have transferred over to Action in order that we can help ensure that services are more seamlessly delivered to blind and partially sighted people. But what ultimately we know from feedback is that maintaining Action and RNIB and talking about us as two separate organisations is still very confusing to blind and partially sighted people. So despite us working together really for 8 years now, that confusion was still significant. So this decision, which sees us merging fully from April this year, we anticipate will help us to better communicate what services RNIB does, because we will going forward be talking about the services that RNIB and Action provide as one.
I guess for some people a concern might be the disappearance of some of those things that were quintessentially Action-based. In other words, like their local Action teams around England, for which of course you have always provided equivalents in Northern Ireland, Wales and Scotland. But will services like that, that local point of contact or that regional point of contact, will that remain?
Quite separate from the merger, we have been together talking about a service model going forward that will ultimately help us to support more and more blind and partially sighted people going forward. We know, of course, that the numbers of people living with sight loss are only set to grow over future years, and at the current time, it's difficult to see how we can scale up our services by providing them in the way that we are. So whilst totally separate from discussions around the merger, we are looking at different ways of delivering services, which may see some changes locally. That change is also about acknowledging that on the ground there are, of course, many, many local societies. And in some cases, again, that's confusing to people locally who don't know necessarily when services are provided by us or Action or indeed local societies. So that's something we're also very minded to look at, making sure that as a national organisation we play our part supporting and working with local societies to do what they do best.
And that emphasis on local, if I could just return to that for a moment, that you're saying local sight loss charities do provide that local support. So are you going to be in a position to kind of talk to them and say, look, if we have to withdraw a service here because of the merger or just because of the way things are going, will you be able to work with the local societies in a kind of partnership way to make sure that local services are still available, local points of contact?
Absolutely. Partnership is one of the key themes of RNIB's strategy. So the last thing we want to do is simply to stop providing services. That's not something that we plan to do. So instead, and very much in the spirit of that partnership, what we want to do is have those discussions to say, actually, is there a different way of doing this? Would, in some cases, local societies, for instance, be better providers of some of the services that we're currently providing? that doesn't mean we're simply going to abandon our role. We're not simply going to, I don't know, some might say kind of dump services on people. That wouldn't be appropriate or fair, and ultimately wouldn't be the best thing to do for blind and partially sighted people. So I think you use the word discuss in your question, and that absolutely is where that focus should be, is on discussion that enables us together to determine the best way of delivering services, so ultimately no one is let down.
Are there sort of trends that you and your colleagues have noticed as far as the way blind and partially sighted people are living their lives today, as opposed to maybe just 5 or even 10 years ago, that lead you to say this is the kind of thing we ought to be doing because of the trends that you're observing?
I think one of the trends that immediately comes to mind is around the opportunities created by new technology. That's both exciting in terms of the opportunities it presents to do things differently, reaching people. I mean, for instance, you know, kind of social media, just the significant growth in ability to access information through the web, for instance, means that services can be delivered in very, very different ways in terms of information and advice. So that certainly is an opportunity that we want to take greater advantage of. Having said that, of course, technology is moving at such an incredible pace that we have to move quickly and with agility to keep up, because it's not going to wait for us. Having said that, on the ground, of course, not everyone can access technology. We do need to make sure that people are supported to be able to use technology. And of course, it's not always appropriate. So some of our services certainly will remain face-to-face, the emphasis on support within the eye clinic, for instance. And again, that's very much in a partnership model with local societies, making sure that as we are responding to an increasingly ageing population, an increasing demographic of older people losing their sight, that we are in the right place, and at that start of that journey, often that is the eye clinic. So making sure someone is there to offer practical and emotional support is so important.
You talked about, if you like, one key moment when someone's just lost their sight, or that moment when they need the most support. But of course, there are many such points as someone's sight might deteriorate, or they might be having to reassess their work situation. They might need new adaptations around the home or new bits of equipment. How confident are you that the new expanded RNIB now, with all these facilities there at its disposal, can be there directly or indirectly for people at the point when they most need support in the way that they need that support?
I think that's a really good point in terms of sight loss in most cases isn't at a single point in time. It is usually a gradual journey, or one that, as I said, means that people may have been living with partial sight and then there'd be a deterioration. So very important point to raise there. Am I confident about us and our ability to meet that need? Not fully. At this point in time, we know that there are many people who are living with sight loss who have no idea about the support that is available to them, either that provided by RNIB or actually the wealth of other providers and support networks that are out there. So one of the things that we know we need to do better, and I think we are in a good position to do, is to raise the profile of sight loss in the general population, put emphasis on people looking after their sight to make sure preventable sight loss is avoided, and ultimately to make sure that at the right point in time that people do know that by coming to RNIB that not only can they access our support and services, but actually, and I think really important message that I want to give is that, getting back to that partnership point, that through us actually people can also receive support from the many other organisations that are out there. We have a responsibility to join it up, to make it easy for people. That's the journey I want to be on. This can't be and never will be RNIB alone. We can't do it alone. So it's all of our responsibility together.
RNIB's Chief Executive Officer, Sally Harvey. And if you'd like to know more about any of the support services offered by RNIB, the best place to start is by phoning their helpline on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. Or you can email them at helpline@rnib.org.uk.